Chapter 23. Terra, the Imperial Palace. The vid recording was grainy and poor, the field dark, the capture soundless. The borders fluctuated, spawning flurries of black snow that intermittently cloaked the figures in central view. There were two of them. The first was clothed in heavy vestments, the skin grafts and bionic attachments of his face swollen out of proportion and stretched around a curve to fill the round of the visual feed recorder's lens. The second was standing back, visible in profile, as she glanced intermittently over her shoulder. She was a woman, slighter than the first figure, robed in Martian red and bodiced with bronze plates, her face masked by filtration tubes and optic sensors. One arm was appended with a bionic brace that twitched with digital manipulators and beam cutters, and in the other she handled an arc pistol with uncommon adroitness. She looked tense. Her rebreather apparatus made it impossible to make out her lips, but from the movement of her exposed cheekbones and neck, it was clear that she was saying something. The distended curvature of her companion's mouth opened and closed in response. Green bars tracked the movement of his lips. Runes flickered, superimposed over the bottom of the screen, as linguistic algorithms struggled and failed to provide a translation. The front figure turned slightly, a digital black ghost image hanging in the air for several seconds after. He said something more. The woman replied, "Recording yet?" Audio as bitty as the image, scrunched up from nothing to fill the feed. The laboured in-out rasp of the man's breathing, too close to the pickups, the rhythmic sigh of industrial machine noise.
I think so,
he said, tapping at a console. The woman drew him back. Their after-images mingled for a moment before the uncooperative recording device cleared the bandwidth confusion and showed just two figures once again.
Grand Master, this is Clementina Yendel of Redhaven, transmitting from Pavonis Hive. With me is Magos biologist Eldon Urquidex.
She gestured behind her. The figure nodded at his name.
I regret that this will be my last report. The Mechanicus know where the orcs are coming from. They have had a good idea since Ardamantua at the least, and probably before that.
She glanced over her shoulder, then turned back, speaking more urgently.
My attempt to extract the Magos and bring this information to you has failed. I can only hope this transmission reaches you before the Mechanicus shut down this section. Urquidex.
The Magos looked up sharply. The fear on his face defied the resolution quality.
Tell them what you know.
He stepped forwards, then clenched back as a phosphor flash lit up a background image and a loud bang crumpled through the audio.
There!
Courland studied the frozen image in the data slate. The Magos looking over his shoulder in horror, the woman blurred in the act of aiming her pistol. He set the slate face down onto the large figured wooden table, pushing aside the stack that had accumulated there over the course of the morning. Without the slightest change to his grim expression, he glared into the imagined distance. The cerebrium overlooked the palace roofscape from the heights of Widdershin's tower, atmospheric and orbital craft crisscrossing the fortress skyline. Tech crews hung in cradles from deltaform lifters in the mottled khaki of the Departamento Minitorum, servicing defensive installations that had not experienced proper maintenance since the last great program of rebuilding instigated by Robute Gilliman in the aftermath of the siege. Pot-bellied troop transports shipped in Astra Militarum regiments from Triton, Ganymede, Venus, and from training bases throughout the system. Shining like a lake under sunlight, undiminished by any semblance of an ozone barrier, armor units massed in the 1,000-hectare rockcrete square of the Fields of Winged Victory. Lastan Nimagian Veritas, the inquisitorial representative, had told him that the Emperor himself had watched Horus Lupercal's first landing boats come down from this very spot. Courland certainly felt something from the ancient Albion oak panelling and book-lined shelves. Power. Responsibility. An almost spiritual bond to his genetic heritage. But he had selected the room as his private study in large part for the view, an instinctual desire to take and hold the high ground. Drakan Vangorich stood patiently, hands curled over the back of one of the 12 chairs tucked under the table, eyes narrowed against the sunlight streaming through the open shutters. "How long have you had this recording?" Corland asked.
"Moments. I brought it to you as soon as I received it, Lord."
"Your expediency is appreciated."
"I trusted you to do the right thing with it."
"Is there any more?"
"What I know, you've just seen."
Corland clenched his jaw. If the recording had divulged the location of the orcs, then for the sake of unity, he would have contented himself with that and put the Adeptus Mechanicus' actions down to simple heel-dragging. He would have dealt with them later, content in the knowledge that there might be a later. Now, that deal was off. "Is the Fabricator General still in the palace?"
"I believe that his personal shuttle departed from Daylight Spaceport with his entourage about," Vangorich smiled thinly, "moments ago."
Corland sat back and scooped up another slate. It was one that he had already read and memorized earlier in the day, the sort of detail to which the human High Lords had likely never devoted themselves. He looked through it, thinking, without needing to read it again.
"Some good news?" asked Vangorich.
"Astropath logs from Oort Base. Alcazar remembered, translated into the system 2 hours and 15 minutes ago, immediately relaying a request to Mars for docking codes and emergency repair. A request that 1 hour and 3 minutes ago was granted with a berth cleared for them at Deimos Manus port in the orbital ring. You have more than this one operative on Mars, I presume?"
Vangorich hesitated a moment.
"Yes."
"Then activate them," said Corland, tossing the data slate into the pile. The Adeptus Mechanicus would give up the location of the beast, one way or the other. Mars, Pavonis Mons. Erquidex pounded his hands against the keypad and screamed into the receiver. The terminal was dead, remotely powered down. He bashed the keypad like an infant who had lost patience with a screen-locked data slate and cried out in frustration. They had been so close. He spun around at the sound of a roughly human-sized metallic object hitting the floor and flinched back against the console. Clementina Yendel struck the attacking Skitari like a flurry of las. The robes of her disguise made a whip-like crack with every punch and kick, and 5 augmented warriors were already down. Number 6 dropped, neck twisted around until it snapped, and she leapt over him, sliding her foot between the legs of the Unit Alpha as he swung a spitting taser goad. A flick of the knee sent the Skitari Alpha crashing down. His weapon skittered across the floor. Yendel was already up, hooking the other leg over his shoulder and punching his arm in half at the elbow. The Alpha gave a vox-synth shriek. With a glance over her shoulder, she ripped off her rebreather mask and took out a charging Skitarius with a discus throw. Long braids of greying hair tumbled free. Blood trickled down her face from the mask's intramuscular attachment sites. Her eyes burned with a destructive focus. A bolt from her arc pistol sent a red-robed Skitarius shivering to his knees with blue-white tendrils of electricity coursing through his body. A cyborg soldier ran at her with the stock of his rad carbine raised like a club. She turned it on the angle of her forearm, took it from him, then spun on her knees and gutted the Skitarius with a swipe of her manipulator arm. Bile and battery acid jetted from his midriff in an arc as he was spun aside. Erquidex had never seen anything like the assassin in his life. An entire squad of Skitari Vanguard, the techno-elite of Mars, and she had dispatched them in the time it had taken him to turn around. He almost dared to believe that they would make it to her ship and off-world after all. Almost. His mind didn't even have the time to trigger the necessary endorphin release to let him feel it. A stream of hypervelocity white phosphor burned up the space where Yendel was standing. Indiscriminate shot melted through the corridor walls, the floor around her and the ceiling above. One incandescent missile punched through the right side of her chest and shattered the console.
Metal and plastic erupted into white fire. Erquidex dropped to the floor, screaming, bringing up his digitool to protect his face. Even to his own ears, his screams were nothing compared to Yendel's. The wound in her chest sizzled. Molten fat dribbled. She beat madly at the chemical fire and threw herself against the wall, pink smoke billowing from her mouth until her lungs were gone and there were no more screams. She flopped to the ground, eyes horrifically wide, twitching like a tortured fish. Several seconds of agony later, Clementina Yendel died. Through optics smeared with flesh vapor, Erquidex watched the immense cyberguised construct that had killed her rumble into view. A Cataphron destroyer. It grumbled forward on a pair of huge tracks, the amputated head and torso of an armor-plated battle servitor providing the basic neural guidance it needed to move and kill. Its eyes were dull, mindless, its lips sutured into a rictus grimace of unfelt pleasure. The heavy weaponry grafted to the stumps of its arms pivoted from Yendel's smoldering corpse to Erquidex. The Magos narrowed his optic apertures and pleaded with the Omnisire for a swifter end.
Not him!
The Cataphron growled to a halt, and from behind it, gliding under a stinging swarm of mechadendrites, came Artisan Trajectori Van Auken. As always, Erquidex found himself cowed by the adept without the need for anything so evolved as words or threats. He looked furious, the physical embodiment of machine power. A squad of Skitari vanguard marched in lockstep to his extended stride, red-robed, the arisen shades of the comrades they uncaringly stepped across. Their eyes glowed like coals behind their steel masks.
You disappoint me, Magos!
The artisan trajectory sneered, his servo harness adding his own snapping words of contempt.
You will never know how much!
From somewhere, Erquidex found the courage to stand.
The soul is the conscience of sentience.
The 10th universal law, said Van Auken. The misinterpretation of the Omnisire's wisdom is a common failing amongst the Adeptus biologists, and no excuse for treason against the blessed machine.
With a brusque flick of a mechadendrite, the artisan trajectory summoned the Skitari. They surged forward. Two claimed Erquidex by either arm and pinned him back over the still spluttering console. He could feel the heat against his back, then on his face, as an augmenticized hand pushed the side of his head into the plastic.
The Imperium will be coming,
he hissed through the metallic fingers covering his mouth. A smile parted the artisan trajectory's Neanderthal jaw.
Magos biologist Eldon Erquidex, the Adeptus Mechanicus sentences you to servitude in perpetuis. I will personally ensure that only the very heaviest of armaments be grafted to whatever the metasurgeons deign to leave of you. It would be undesirable for your body to perish too swiftly.
Erquidex struggled against the augmentized grips that restrained him, screaming for the clemency of white phosphor. Van Auken glided back.
You have done nothing but accelerate an outcome considered inevitable since the inception of the grand experiment. The Imperium will come, and they will not find the legions of Mars unprepared.
Somehow, Erquidex's struggles freed an arm. He lashed his digitools across the throat of the Skitarius holding his other arm. Blood splashed his rebreather, and for a moment he was free. He spun around, screaming into the vidrecorder as cold hands dragged him away by his robes.
Ulanor! The beast arises! On Ulanor!